Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire. To be used by you.
Lifestyle. He lived a supernatural lifestyle all his life,
and it's going to be an awesome show. And he's had two times to heaven, which is pretty awesome. And I'm going to see who this one here is. Hey, Dave, how y'all doing?
We're doing great.
Good to have you on the show this morning.
Well, it's a blessing to be on here.
Yeah, I know we got our time zones a little messed up, but that's normal sometimes with this show. It happens sometimes. But now, Dave, how many times have you actually been to heaven?
Four. I got swarmed by bees when I was two. I didn't want to live anymore and actually made a bomb when I was 13. I had a truck accident when I was 22 that made national news, and then I got hit by lightning 12 years ago.
Man. Now, tell me about the lightning accident. What happened during that time when you went to heaven?
Well, everybody had seen it look like a bolt of lightning. I was driving down the interstate in a big semi, and all of a sudden I just started vibrating. And if you've ever been in the intense presence of God, it's like there's just electricity going through you. But the guy that came to see if I was alive later said I had a 6-foot ball of like energy just spinning on top of my truck, and when it rolled off on the side, it just kind of blew everything apart like a bolt of lightning. When you tell people, the only way I can get them not to freak out right away is it was like the lightning up the altar at Elijah. I don't believe it was natural, but it looked like natural to the naked eye. But after that, I shook for 3 days.
Hmm.
Then I'm driving into a town I've never been to, and I hear an audible voice that says, "Go to Goodwill." And there was 4 Holy Ghost books, Catherine Kuhlman, Benny Hinn, Catherine Marshall, and another. And it was, when they got to the point of surrender, they like shook like the same way for days. Rodney Howard Brown did, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, the greats of the past, D.L. Moody. There was a shaking, and some of them shook for up to 4 days. Miracles just popping after that. So I don't believe it was lightning, but when you're living through it, your mind doesn't process it right away. I thought I got hit by lightning, and I didn't understand it for a while, and then God, by crying out to God, he showed me what happened to other greats of the past. A lot of them ain't with us anymore. D.L. Moody was walking down Wall Street, and the power of God hit him so hard he had to go into a house and, "God, don't kill me. I don't know what this is." And then he probably won a million souls.
Amen.
The scripture that always comes to pass is, "I will shake everything and be shaken." I believe it's a point of surrender in your life that you're going to do God's will instead of your own will. And everybody says that. Catherine Kuhlman, she walked down a dead-end street and said, "This is where Catherine Kuhlman died." And after that, she just went to a new level of revelation and miracles. Everybody wanted to make a minister out of me when I was a kid, but I didn't see any. I didn't hang around that group. We were out kind of in the middle of nowhere. Didn't even know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was. And all of a sudden, I know I'm not getting the ministry unless I see the miracles, because everywhere I see preaching the word and the scripture, there's healing. There's a miracle. These signs will follow them that believe. I don't believe you can be a believer without having the miracles. I don't believe you can be preached the word of God without signs following. That was just the standard I held my, "Nope, I'm not going to be in the ministry until I see the miracles." And I got it more than I could ever imagine. I still kind of pinch myself every day and say, "God, are you sure you picked the right guy?"
Yeah. Now, Dave, when you have went up to heaven, have you really got to explore while you was up there, or...
Every experience was different. When I was about two when I toddled into a swarm of bees. My mom didn't want me, didn't take care of me. And it was like they pulled the log away, and there was like a bushel basket of bees just come up out of the ground and swarm me. And I was so young, I didn't understand it, but I floated out of my body, went into heaven with Jesus. And it was just like I was walking with my big brother. And when you're so little, you're not comprehending it. And he was just showing me this vastness. We weren't really talking. It was just like, and I was seeing things I didn't understand. And usually it's somebody asking me to pull the things out. It's so vast. It's like telling somebody all the details of Earth and heaven's how many million times bigger. I believe it's unlimited. You couldn't see the ends of the worlds, plural. But it was a relationship that I could. He was a brother. He was God, but he was being a kid. You didn't have any sin in your life. You could just come and ask him anything, and I'd get revelation, and I didn't know where it come from because I was so little. When I was abused, my mom and dad didn't want me. When I was 13, I got beat one too many times. Nobody would believe me, nobody in school, no teachers, no Sunday school teachers, and I was pretty creative, so I got in the gunpowder cabinet and made a pipe bomb. That time it was different. I didn't go to hell because I wasn't trying to die. I was trying to go home. And that really messes with people because I just got to, it's like Stephen, I just got beat one too many times. I just wanted to go home. I needed somebody that wanted me, and I knew Jesus wanted me. I don't recommend that to anybody because most of the people that have had near death like that did not go to heaven. But I didn't want to die. I just wanted to go home. And it was like all of a sudden when I came back in my body, parts had went through both eyes. I could see in the spirit. I could see to get back home without eyes. It stirred up some, I guess you'd call it a prophetic gift. It was a knowing. And I never fit in with classmates after that. I tried to, but it was just like words of knowledge would burn out, and I didn't even realize what a word of knowledge was. I just know things. I was more creative. But while I was up in heaven, it wasn't very long, but it seemed like you were there a long time. It was like you were seeing the rivers. You were seeing like almost like the Garden of Eden on steroids. It was so vast. I was seeing people that had been dead in our family for generations. We got part of a Century Farm, and I told them what it looked like 100 years ago when they first homesteaded it. It was kind of like that little boy that went to heaven and would see things and see people. I knew people that had been gone before I was born. And I believe you don't have to die to get to that point because the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. And if you hang around people like me, and there's more of us out there than the world knows, it just gets on you. It's not that we impart something. It's you hang around us, and all of a sudden you might see into the future. You might see into the past. You might see into heavenly realms where God reveals things to you. The one thing I want to stress, I'm not that special just because I've died and went to heaven. I didn't do it right. My heart was right, but I did it wrong. And that's why we teach anybody to get the same results. It's not a special anointing. It's just being who Jesus created believers to be.
I want to ask you something, Dave. I've talked to other people that's been to heaven before, and Rapier Garcia, he's a good friend of the show, and he said when he went to heaven, it was when he was a child, It's just like he was just pulled out of his body and he was pushed up into heaven. He said it was kind of unique. He said when he went, he said it was like all the music that he loved that was playing in heaven in a slower volume. It's like everything was put to his for his pleasure when he went up there, and everything was kind of unique. He got to see like cities and stuff. It was kind of unique what he saw, and it seems like all of it is a little bit familiar, but all of it's a little different. Do you think it is kind of a little different for each person, or is it the same?
Well, I've met 400 people now that have died, went to heaven, and come back, and we've got similarities, but we have, I believe heaven's so vast, you can't comprehend it all when you come back. But yes, it's like everything is brighter, more vibrant. It's like everything is alive. It's not like you got a dead piece of furniture. It's like living trees, living water, everything's not of this world. It's like when Jesus said, even if the people didn't worship me, even the rocks would cry out. I believe there's going to sound funny. I'm trying to find words that don't sound too weird. I believe it's a realm where everything is alive, whether it's not humanoid, but it's alive. It's living, vibrant. There's life in everything. And we've been brought up in this physical realm where things are just objects. Do you know how an atom is? Where it's, if you look at furniture or something hard metal, it's solid. But if you look under in a big enough microscope, the parts are always moving. The atoms and molecules are always moving. It's more of that realm where everything is, it's like the, if you look at the atom, it's a neutron and proton, but there's electron around it. That part's always moving. It's just, to me, it's the way I've described it is like that first drop of a roller coaster. It's the euphoria that you just, it's like an energy just comes through you that you're just, you don't want to sleep. You don't want to come back to this dead earth.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You can be as weird as you want. You can be as weird as you want to on this show. This is a Healing Light show. We talk about supernatural things all the time. So that's normal for this show. Go ahead.
Several times after that, I have experienced what should have been car wrecks or semi wrecks, and my prayers are short because I have a split second Jesus, and I've seen vehicles go through vehicles. What messes with us is why does it happen every time? Why don't I've seen semis, you know, one person was running a stop sign, the truck driver was already by it enough, I seen a car go right through a semi, right, like nobody's gonna believe this one. And that's before we had the cameras and technology. Now there's a lot of trucks that have cameras just videotaping everything, and that's why you catch a lot more of the supernatural on film. How come? And that's what's been, how do you teach it where it works every time? You know,
yeah.
How I tapped into it, it's kind of unusual, but I always like miracle books, even the ones that were kind of goofy. How does a woman walk up to a car accident and throw a car off somebody?
Yeah.
There's a key into that. And I did that as a kid sometimes, but it was usually under life and death situations where it's not you. You're not thinking. One time I moved 1,500 pounds of steel with one hand and didn't think nothing of it. I didn't even know it weighed that much until later. It's getting out of the mind realm into the spirit realm. And usually, well, I always like to have some scripture to back things up. Jesus says the greatest form of love is when you lay your life down from someone. But it's not just dying. It's dying to self. kind of like in Vietnam, soldiers would throw their helmet over a hand grenade and sacrifice themselves. When I was 22, I was in a truck wreck, and I come over the hill. The ditches were full. There was nowhere to go, and I had a choice of running over and killing some people or hitting a parked semi, and I hit the parked semi and made national news. And I was floating up out of my body. I didn't do it to be a hero, but I just couldn't live with myself knowing if I was going to run over. And how do you explain them people? I tried to get in the ditches, but how do you explain running in the ditch and killing some people? So it was kind of like going into a funnel. It got narrower and narrower, and stopping wasn't an option. It's a heart issue. Do you love them enough to sacrifice your life to save somebody? And very few people get to come back and do it more than once. And I'm not a hero, because at that point there was no thinking. I just knew I couldn't live with myself. I didn't like myself anyway. And if I had everybody blaming me for killing their relatives, I knew I couldn't live in this world. And I'm not trying to be a downer on it. I didn't have a good childhood growing up, and I just knew to do the right thing, even if I didn't want to. And I believe that's really faith. You're going to do it whether you like it or not. You're going to do it just because it's the right thing to do. And the more often you do it, the easier it becomes. Like, usually when these... Heaven was so vast, it's when I'm ministering, all this will come back like watching a high-speed video. Like, wow, you were in heaven. And I've been attracted to people in public and other ministries where I'll just walk up and I'll tell them how they died, how they floated, what they seen in heaven, and how they came back into their body. And most of us, when we're in heaven, made a commitment, and I don't understand it all, that we decided that we would do God's work. And there was usually a process when we come back. I put it this way, when I was in heaven, I was really smart. When I came back in my body, I got dumb again. Because the Bible says you know all things in your spirit, but we don't learn to listen to our spirit very good. Even when we think we do, we don't. Because we're in this country, especially, we're being led by our mind. We teach ourselves to be led by our mind and not led by our spirit. The key to making it work is letting your spirit take authority over your mind. Your mind tells your body what to do. You are a spirit. You have a mind, and you live in a body. We got to get back into the right order. The other part is, that's why I like ministering, especially to new people, people at treatment centers, because most of them have been through some really, really hard times. They've been used, abused, maybe drugs, and that's when it really kicks in. It doesn't happen with me unless I'm ministering to somebody else, and then I'll get to see something in my life that's happened that just sets them free. Especially suicidal people. I said, well, you know, I did that. I had 21 people one year say, I want to live. I thought I had it rough, but you had it way rougher than I did. I said, but I had Jesus. And then they'll give their heart to Jesus, and they'll just, I want to live now. I try real hard not to do it just as bragging rights. I use it to set hurting people free. And I've taken a lot of heat over it. Well, why do you share it? I said, because every time I've done it, even when I didn't think anybody was listening, I'd get a letter, email, text message later that it set them free.
Oh, man.
It's neat. It's neat talking about heaven, and I pulled back from that because then everybody wants to talk about heaven and they don't do what they're supposed to do in this world. We really got to get a heart to make earth like heaven. It says in the Lord's Prayer to make earth, pull heaven on down to earth. So I've kind of changed how I talk about heaven, because I was so heavenly minded I didn't get nothing done when I was a kid, because all I wanted to do was remember what heaven was like. I forgot to do what I was supposed to do in this time of my life.
Now, Dave, I'll stop you right there. Now, you had all these abilities when you was a child. As you got older, did you keep these abilities, or did some fall off, or do you still have some of these abilities that you had when you was a child?
Well, when I was four, I was sitting on my grandmother's lap, and she told me I was going to be like John Lake. And the only thing I knew about the whole story was he went to Africa when everybody was dying, and they didn't die no more. And he could put sickness in his hand, it was die. My mother couldn't have babies after me, so I laid hands on my mother, and I have a sister 5 years younger. It didn't get shut off. I thought it did because of traditions of men. You don't let it just flow out like a child. When I was a kid, I thought I had something special, because if I just put my hands on something, God would fix it. I only knew one thing. When I got older, I started being led by my mind, and then the church people and school people would tell you, oh, that's crazy, and pretty soon you start believing the lie. The Bible says God's gifts, he doesn't take them back. But we tend not to use them. Like a child just does things, they don't think about it too much. I started analyzing it and not wanting to look crazy. They always worked in life and death situations, but after the lightning bolts 12 years ago, all that other junk got knocked off. And there for a while, I thought I had a special gift again, because everybody I touched got healed. I'd go to the emergency room, people off their deathbed, people that were dead just set up. And then I got kind of dumbed down again. I didn't think I could lose it a second time, but I started hanging around people that were having traditions, adding to, making it harder. Before, when I was a kid, I only believed. And then I only believed, plus I thought a lot, analyzed, prayed. And after lightning bolts, as soon as I touched somebody, it just worked. I didn't even have to know anything about them. I had to kill some of them traditions that different denominations had. And most of these were power healing ministries. And they were getting good results, but they weren't getting Jesus results. I'm not trying to criticize people. I'm trying to get people to go to a new level of revelation. It's letting Jesus out without restriction is the key. And we all say that. So why don't we get 100% all the time? There's still some areas that we haven't quite. We're almost like a filter. Because when you got born again, you got a Jesus. When you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you got a Holy Ghost. Now, they're pure, but they have to come out through our intellect. Like Catherine Kuhlman, she would get so surrendered that it really wasn't her no more. And Kenneth Hagin would almost go into trances where he didn't even know he preached on it until he listened to the tapes later. It's getting to that point of surrender that it's not you that lives anymore, but Jesus lives through you. The other
Amen.
Thing I want, almost everything started glowing in this realm. It was like you almost had a spotlight on. Even at night, I'd swear that like trees and things would just glow. They had a new vibrant look. A lot of times you'll have a new convert when they get born again, they're just so happy, like everything's brighter. But you can learn to walk in that. Do you see that tree over there? Does it glow? No. Like, I swear that tree is glowing like it's plugged in like an full size tree.
Yeah, Dave. I think one of the coolest things when you know, the Holy Spirit first comes into you, you start appreciating nature and things in the world a little bit more than you did before, things that you just would normally just walk by and just ignore. You start appreciating nature and God's creation more than you ever have, because you'll look at the flower, and you can look at the flower in the flower garden and look at it for hours, because you're just enjoying the love and the creation of that thing, how beautiful it is, which before the Holy Ghost came into you, just ignore it and walk off, you know? And it gives you more of a love towards things than you had before, and it's cool.
I hate seeing things get destroyed, even mechanical things. Like, going to a salvage yard, and I see the potential of all the vehicles, especially some of your classics. Like, oh my God, they're going to want that someday. They're going to want that, you know, performance car. They're going to want that because they didn't make very many. It's hard to destroy things because you got that DNA of the Holy Ghost in you that, hey, I can fix that. I can fix that. I can fix that. Just let me at it. It's kind of like the antique horse and buggy. I hate to see antiques just rotting out behind farmsteads that, my God, somebody in a museum would appreciate seeing how we come. And I believe that's God's DNA, because he wants things whole. And you get that, and the more of you let out, the more you appreciate. I have a hard time letting go of some of that. You know, I know this could be fixed. I know this could be repaired. Not just mechanical stuff, but hurting people. We've had one lady who had us pray for her, had Down syndrome baby, and her baby doesn't look, doesn't act Down syndrome no more. That means the DNA was changing. People that, you know, were actually on their deathbed dead. The only reason they weren't dead is because they had the family come and had them hooked up, pumping blood through them, but legally they were dead. Sit up whole. I mean, you get appreciation for life. And when the Holy Ghost really gets working through you, there's nothing that's impossible, because it's not you doing it. And the Holy Ghost did every miracle in history anyway, so he already knows how to do it. He just needs you to let him out without restriction. And that's what we've been trying to do, going around this country and others, is teach people just to be and let God come out of them. We've had two little girls here. We're up in Wisconsin right now. A friend of ours got ordained, and we set up three miracle services this weekend. This lady had no thumb in Madison, Wisconsin, and we all laid hands on her, blasted her. And we had the kids go down the prayer line, and the two littlest girls touched this lady's thumb, and it was cut off below her thumbnail. It just went boink. Like, 1 second it wasn't there, the next second it was there with a thumbnail at all. The kids don't have the restrictions, so we'll put the kids to work. They really make us look good, because I can remember, I didn't think about it when I was a kid. So if I get the kids born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and then we just say, hey, go lay hands on these people. And the miracles just go through the roof. We tend to come not as a child, but as a theologian. And to a degree, I've kept that childlike faith of just lay hands on them and believe it's done. Don't come into agreement that nothing's happening. It's happening. And we're amazed. I'm always stretching this, because I keep thinking there's a time where we're going to have to lay hands on hundreds of thousands of people a day. Maybe anthrax or something like that comes out. We're not going to have the time to just have these long, drawn-out prayers to save a life. I see Jesus, he fed the 5,000 men, so there's women and kids, there could be 15, 20,000. He didn't have time to lay hands on all of them. So we need to grow up more Christ-like and more Christ-results-like.
Amen.
And that's one reason we teach people to do what we do, and we put new people. It took an atheist getting born again, filled the Holy Ghost. He got better results than I did. He had no doctrine. Therefore, he had no false teaching. He just knew if I put my hand on him, watch this. He thought it was funny. I was jealous for a while. Like, wait a minute, the atheist is getting better results than I am. Why is that? He had no theology. He just knew he put it. He was like me when I was 4, 5, and 6. I put my hand on you, God's going to fix you. He knew one thing, and it worked. God, how could I get that back? Like when I was a kid, I put my hand on you, God's going to fix you.
Yeah, Dave, I'll stop you right there. I really do think that a lot of your theology and some of your religious beliefs really puts a wall to the ability that God can use you, because if you got theology and stuff, you've got all those filters for your mind to allow this to happen. And then it has to get through all your theology. And I've saw some people, they'll have like a half an hour long prayer when they're putting their hands on somebody. And I've always heard the longer the prayer, the less the faith the guy has. They think that their long prayers got to push it out of them or something, but it is not really like that.
Well, you've talked to Mike, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mike had all the right words, but very little results. We come down there, and that day it just popped. His life has never been the same. He just,
yeah.
It was a confident. I don't think it's really faith. It's more of a confident. And we kind of tricked him into praying for a blind lady, because he's a promoter guy. We're about opposite. He can talk to anybody. I have a hard time choosing words. He tells this blind lady, he says, we're going to pray for you, and God's going to heal your eye, and we all step back. And he says, I guess I'm going to do it. And her eye seen light, and he did it a second time, and she could see perfectly. He needed somebody around him to give him that confidence. And then he sets up a healing service, and he calls me, and he got a 99% result the first time. He calls me, he says, Dave, there was a blind guy that didn't get totally healed the first night. I said, Mike, you got almost 100% results the first time you went out and had a healing service. Most people don't even get close to that at the end of their life. I mean, you got it. Your heart's right. Don't make this so complicated. It's in process. And we became friends after that. And I just show people what the potential they have in them. And I'm kind of sneaky. I'm an old cowboy, because if I just told him he was going to do it, people get nervous. Say, I can't do that. But we kind of trick you into, hey, we'll just do what we do. Next thing you know, he's doing it. Now he's got his own ministry. Well, T.L. Osborne, T.L. and Daisy aren't with us anymore, but they had the same message that John Lake got 100 years ago. They were just people that grabbed the message. They weren't anybody special, but there was something they had, some revelation that they had. And they changed the whole world. They had the first mass crusade. They couldn't get stadiums big enough. The revelation T.L. got is simple. He said, we never asked God to do something he told us to do. He said, you go heal the sick. So we don't pray for the sick like we used to. And you never ask God for something you already have, which he said he's already given us all spiritual blessings, all power, all authority over all the works of the enemy. The revelation is we got to quit asking God for things the Bible says we already have. Ask this question, God, how do I use what you've already given me? Help me to make it work better. Help me to die to self. There's a sick, dying, hurting world out there. How do we get them healed, delivered, born again, and filled the Holy Ghost more efficiently? Kind of like the happy hunters. I've studied the people that had great ministries like that, and I tried to learn what they did right and then demonstrate it. You know, anybody can talk about it, but, you know, you need to be able to demonstrate it so they got something that's usable. You know, you wouldn't want a car mechanic that just told you how he's going to fix your car but never fixed it. We want a workable and as scripturally accurate as we can. So we have, when we have schools, we don't have, we have some teaching because you got to have, you know, a perimeter. And last week we had everybody got scared, like, I want you to demonstrate the nine gifts. Well, I can't do that at school. You got the Holy Ghost in you. If you step out in faith, it was amazing. We had kids, people that never did it. Oh, I got a word for that person. Give it to them. And it's funny because you can see where people come from. I got a word for that person. Dave, will you tell them? I said, no, God gave you the word. You tell them. Well, I guess that's right, ain't it? God didn't tell me to tell them. He told you to tell them. And you get people out of their comfort zone that they can do what Jesus could do in greater works. You know, they need a word, and they just set some people free. It was sometimes it's words of wisdom. It's usually a future event, words of knowledge. You just know something prophetic. You'll see a vision. There's usually more of a video with it. Tongues, interpretation of tongues. You don't know when you're praying. Switch over to your heavenly prayer language, and God will give you the revelation that person needs. And when you hang around people that are doing it, you just start doing what they do. It's kind of like monkey see, monkey do. In construction, we didn't tell somebody how to pound a nail. We put a hammer and nail in their hand, and they might make some mistakes. Okay, now don't hit your thumb anymore. That really hurts. You know, put the level on it. Make sure you get your framework plumb. The heavenly part, I wish I could just stay there. In part of my life, I want to be there so bad, it's hard to function. You know, when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't want to do that. He even cried out to the Father, if it could, take this cup away from me. But not my will be done. I want to do my will on earth before I go back there. And now I convince myself it's going to be a blink of an eye on the timeline. You're going to be in heaven for eternity. But once you're there, you can't get people healed, delivered, born again, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I can only reach so many people, but I can teach people to get better results and train up an army. So when I'm gone, they can still be winning souls and healing the sick and getting the works of the devil off of people. I had to change my want to. Because I got hurt by a lot of people in this world. I could have been, and for a while I wasn't too nice. But I had to change my opinion, my attitude. Hey, it wasn't them, it was a devil in them that attacked me. It wasn't personal. But what do I want? When I get to heaven, I want to hear that well done, good and faithful servant. So I had to make a decision to do God's will on a daily basis. Not just the physical part, but to get people to change their mindset to get better results. Can you imagine if we got this message back in this country, like when John Lakeland in Spokane had 100,000 miracles and shut down a hospital? Think of the finance we could feed all the widows and orphans. For what we spend in healthcare in this country alone, we could feed all the hungry people on earth. And it's a free gift. That's my heart. Look at all the sick people that wouldn't be sick. Look at all the people that wouldn't have to get parts cut off them. And all the people that are starving wouldn't be starving no more. People would want to be a Christian because they wouldn't have to go get all these treatments and stuff. I truly believe the reason I got to come back, it took me a lifetime, like, why? Why, God? There's got to be more than what I'm doing. Was to get this message that healed, saved, and delivered is one word, sozo. We don't have to be sick anymore. We don't have to put up with it anymore. That's and awesome. Yes, you'll have some struggles, but We got married 6.5 years ago. I think Patty's threw up 1 or 2 times in the 6.5 years. We get attacked once in a while. But once she made up her mind she was never going to be sick anymore, hey, it's a short fight. 10 years ago, I got adopted by a church lady, and the bad flu was going around. Oh, you're going to be sick like her. No, I'm not. So I got out in my car, got loud, bold. And she called me 5 years ago and said, Dave, I don't have to be sick anymore. The flu come on me, and I got loud. I got to shouting at it. And I had the flu for almost 10 minutes, too. You got an example to go by. You just didn't have a doctrine that you taught. Hey, Dave don't have to get sick. I don't have to get sick either.
Amen. Amen. Dave, we're going to stop right there for a minute. We're going to go into a small song, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hallelujah.
We have raised 1,000 voices just to lift your holy name, and we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. When none can even fathom, no, not one define your worth, as we marvel in your presence to the ends of the earth. Lord, touch your heart and glory. nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord,
thermometer and had mercury in glass, and my mother is throwing off the deep end, cursing God and knowing she's going to lose her, you know, baby. I went in and laid hands on her because I didn't want my see my sister die. I'm 7 years old, or around seven, and she woke up with no side effects. When she was five, she fell off a pony at a walk, and she broke her arm at the growth center, and some of the best doctors in the world said it would never grow or work, and my mother blamed that for me. So in a kind of a weird sort of way, I made a commitment to God, don't make a doctrine out of this, that I'd laid hands on my sister, and God would just take me. I thought I would just go to sleep and I'd go home. See, this ain't my home. I never fit into this world. And when you started speaking, it was, I just want to go home. I want to make this world, this earth, like my home. That's the DNA of sonship. That it's so simple, we make it so hard because we've been in this world being led by our mind and not just doing the word. And that's why I take hurting people, really hurting people, treatment center type, halfway house people, and I'll pull them up and they will get 100% result. Just don't think about it. Just put your hand on them and believe God's going to fix them. That's really all I do. If I get a stubborn one, I'll do it two or three times. And I'm always stretching this. We're up in Canada, and my wife is a better talker. She's more of a people person. So, you know, it was kind of her day. So she got a little tongue-tied. And she says, my husband's going to come up and demonstrate. So backs have been easy for me. So if I want to start a miracle service, I called up backs, and 19 backs got healed in a minute. I'd never seen that before. After that, it didn't matter who came up. It was just pop, 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 pop. She got 45 people filled with the Holy Ghost at one time. It was like a power surge went through the front of the church. We'd never been there before. We'd never been to that realm before. So we're always pushing ourselves. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. I can't wait to hang with you guys because I'm going to go to new levels.
One more thing, if I could add, is Jesus, when he was telling his disciples about the end times, he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith? And I believe that's the realm. I call it an underground church, and I get in trouble for that, but the people who aren't on the TV and they're not out there in the big conferences and stuff, but they're normal, everyday people on the streets, encountering people every day that whoever I run into is a target to just lavish faith on them, to have faith like a child. When the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith? And I believe truly that that's kind of where we're headed in this day and age. So I really appreciate preachers or teachers like you, Mr. Dave, that go out and not just want to do the stuff, but you want to teach people how to do it and leave a legacy behind where you may touch 100,000 people in your day, but when you get to heaven, you're going to be responsible for millions because you created people who did it, and you get credit for it too. So I appreciate you for doing stuff like that.
Jesus created multi-level marketing. Now, you see the works that I do, I want you to do greater works than these, and I want you to teach as many people to do them so it multiplies. When you were speaking, I had tears running down my cheeks. You got something big going to happen. I don't know the details of it, but very few people wreck me over the phone like that. You got it.
That's cool.
Thanks, sir. I appreciate that. Now you're wrecking me over the phone, so thank you.
Good. We're like brothers that never met, and God's networking people. I'll give you some examples. We went to a prophetic conference two weekends ago, and I had to have a cheeseburger at 9:30 at night, and I wasn't going to eat late. I just had to go. I knew there was a Burger King up the road. So I walked in. We had to use the restroom. It was like a four-hour drive. My wife and another minister was with us. They go in the restroom. I come out, went up to order, and I said, how's your day? Oh, you don't want to know. I said, yes, I do. And she was having a really bad day. I grabbed her hand, just said life, and she like percolated. She started dancing with joy. My wife and the other minister come up, what happened? So I just shook her hand and said life. She was on her break praying, and God would heal her. I shook her hand. She got healed of three things: arthritis, something about her neck, vertebrae, and fibromyalgia. She says, I feel like 25 again, and she's excited. The other day we had left her vehicle at Walmart. We had two vehicles. We just left one, so we didn't have to drive both, and I come back. I really didn't want to go to Walmart, so I went in to look at pool supplies because we're opening our pool, and nothing really fit. And I seen this jump starter thing that was half price with a battery pack, and I can use it to run the cameras without running cords now. $36. I got up the counter, and this lady, I said, you're in pain, aren't you? She said, I'm trying hard not to look like it. So I reached out my hand. She shook it, and I said, life. And she's kind of percolating, and the people thought I was reaching across to grab money, so I got more of an audience than I wanted. I said, do you have any pain? She said, it's all gone. I said, here's my card. Just healed you, and I walked off. I purposely seek somebody every day. This is going to sound funny because I didn't like me. I believed the lies about me. I knew that if the power of God come out of me to heal somebody, I was doing the Great Commission. Love God with all, because I really didn't want to do it. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I really didn't love me most of my life because I believed the lies. But I knew if I was getting them healed and set free, I was loving my neighbor as myself, and I was loving God enough to do his job. That's all I did. And I knew if I did that every day, I would die to myself every day because I was doing his will and not my will. It's so simple. It wasn't until I got kind of forced into the teaching. Everybody wants to know all the reasons why it has to work. It's because it's written. It's written, if I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. It's written to love your neighbor as yourself. You didn't have to like them. Many of these people liked me. A lot of them tried to kill me financially, emotionally. And I knew if I could get them healed, I loved them like Jesus. I'm trying to pick words where people will get this message.
One of the biggest things is that we're not fighting with flesh, we're fighting with principalities. Which when we make it personal, you're trying to fight with their flesh, with who they are. You ain't fighting with the principality, which is guiding them into evil works and evil deeds. And once you understand that it's not them doing the evil works or evil deeds, they're just puppets of this demonic being doing this, you understand that's not really them. You look behind the background of who's really doing that, and then you respect them more and hate their sin instead of the person. You know, like they always say, hate the sin instead of the person. And a lot of times, you know, 1 out of 10, they're going to be hate the person instead of the sin. And that ain't what it's all about. We're supposed to be hating the sin and not the person. What we're doing, we're hating the demon and not the person that it's trying to control.
Amen.
That's one of the biggest things. See, we're so focused of looking on the outside instead of looking on the background, what's controlling that person. Then we get them delivered and set free. Then we see the person for who they truly are. The person for who they truly are is God's son and daughter. The one that's created in love, not in damage goods and all that. That's devil stuff. But, you know, when you see the person who they truly are and what God really created them to be, then you see the whole nine yards exactly who they are. But, you know, once we get away from seeing, you know, looking at the flesh and pointing at them and say, you did that, and then you look, you know, that's one of the biggest things I've always told people. People that really knows God and really knows this stuff, they understand what's controlling the person. It's not them, it's what's behind the background is controlling them. What happened in their childhood, what happened, you know, whatever doorway that Satan has came into their life and started controlling them. They all have a doorway somewhere or another in their in their life that this thing has reached in. But it's not them. It's that doorway is the identification that Satan is using to control them. Like, you know, Dave, you're talking about your childhood, that you had a bad childhood. The enemy could use that to control you. Well, look here, they never did treat you right, because they treated you different. And then he could always throw that to you in your ministry to try to control you, but you decide to say, no, this is a lie. If there is something that, you know, that the enemy has created trying to control me, but I'm a son of God, and I'm going to do what he told me to do, and I ain't going to listen to any of those lies. Once you step up and do that, then you start changing. You start stepping into, I say, your big boy pants to start walking as a son of God through Jesus Christ. And it's kind of unique, because a lot of people see the bad stuff. They don't see the good stuff. But once you start seeing the good stuff, you start seeing more of it.
When you were speaking, I seen a vision of a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
Picture a hot air balloon, and most ministries tell you need more of Jesus, you need more of the Holy Ghost. Well, I hate to tell you, you're only going to get one Jesus and one Holy Ghost. But picture that hot air balloon with some cables holding it down from flying where it should. I'm real good at kicking them devils that are holding people back, the traditions that are holding back. So you don't need more of Jesus, you don't need more of the Holy Ghost, you need to kill them things that are holding you back. They kind of come like, picture a guy that has a sword, like a magic sword, that just cuts them cables. And then you can float up to where God wants you. You kill the things that are holding you back. You really don't get more of God, but it feels like you got more, because you got less of the devil and less of yourself. And when you were speaking earlier, I had the vision of being in heaven after lightning bolts. Picture going out of a dark building into the brightest white light you can see. You're blinded by the light. When Jeremiah walked into the throne room, he said, "Is a man undone?" It feels like, have you ever watched him videos of the old nuclear blast above ground where that flash of brilliance just goes boom?
That's it goes across the land.
It was like I got vaporized. My whole being got vaporized. And yet, it was like they all, almost like Star Trek, where they come back together and you're somewhere else. Like, wow, what just happened? I believe with Jesus, a nuclear bomb could land right next to me. It would go bang, and me and Jesus would still be standing there. It's the relationship of, like, hanging on to Jesus no matter what. Nope. And when you were talking, I started weeping again. Something big is going to happen in this group, in this team effort. I've always tried to network teams together. And in Christendom, it's hard getting, because people won't let go of their pet tradition to work together.
Yep.
And it almost looks like organized chaos, like at our state fair program. But we never did anything like that before. And there was a lot of not fighting, but control issues. And I'd go for a walk, talk to God. I'd grab one of them out. Hey, let's just go out in the street for a while. It was trying to almost like babysit. And when you get a bunch of powerhouses together, it's more of a challenge, because everybody wants to be right. They don't want to just get the job done. And we try to network with different flows. So don't just be satisfied with status quo. Try to say, hey, God, how do I go to the next level? What do I need to let go of? Heaven is going to be so great, you'll end up being heavenly minded and not getting the job down. We want to pull the heavenly realm down to earth. I long to be there. I can't wait. I pray every day, God, if you can't use me today, if I can't do your will today, take me home. Makes my wife really upset. No, you're not going before your time. It's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to get it right. And I'm still human. I've seen the 100%. I've seen the dead raised. I've trained people to raise the dead. How do I get it more efficient? How do I get it where we got more people on the team with the right message, getting Jesus results? And God will walk into your room. We've had dozens of meetings where, do you know who's standing by? Tell me. Jesus is standing. Well, great. We're doing it right.
Yeah.
Thank God. Wigglesworth used to see Jesus. Kenneth Hagin would see Jesus. I've seen that, but I don't tell everybody about it. I let God reveal it. If he wants to show himself, I wish he was every one of our meetings in the flesh, just like he did with it. I believe it's available. We've seen bits and pieces of it. I'm always stretching, not for perfection in this world, but for the perfect will of God. I believe you can be in the will of God, but there's a perfect will. Like, I was never going to get married again. God put me and Patty together. 2 months later, we got married. Two people got healed on the way to our wedding. Two people got healed during our wedding, and we've had miracles every day since. We stepped into what I believe is more of the perfect will, and we didn't do a lot of things right. We're not perfect. You hang around us, you'll think, how does God use them? Because it's in key turning points, we will sacrifice ourselves to do God's work. That's one of the keys. What's more important, your standard on this earth or doing God's will at all costs? And it ain't easy. God, you know, I'd really like to take a vacation, but there's a sick, hurting person. Somebody gave us the money for a cruise, and my wife stood and declared they were sold out. And there was a ship sitting in the harbor, and she declared at midnight, they said, you ain't going to believe this. Somebody actually gave up their room. So we had to pack at midnight, go get on the ship so we didn't have no sleep. I got somebody healed and set free every day. I don't really like that, but she did. Went to the Bahamas, Vietnam vet. I laid hands on him. I didn't ask him if I could. I just shook his hand and just blasted him in his back, and that got healed. The taxi driver stops the taxi, jumps out and says, do me too. I got a bad back. A lady with cancer was healed later over the phone from the Bahamas. So even though officially we're on a vacation, officially I'm never on vacation. Jesus said, my Father, he's working all the time. I must do the works. That's why I get a miracle every day. I don't really, not that I don't take a day off. Even when a day off, somebody's hurting, I'm not going to say, hey, I'm on vacation, I can't get you healed today. I can't do that.
Yeah, on vacation, maybe about 5 hours from now, come back later, you know.
Well, yeah. I've heard some of that.
Well, you know, I think it's good to be all in all the time, you know, and just live life in him and let the abundance of life flow through you and go after it more and more to the point where you're praying without ceasing. I think the Lord, for me, he's manifest several times in a bodily form. I mean, that can be different for however he wants to do it. But, I mean, to me, it's just going after him and never letting up, you know, and trying to do what he wants you to do. I heard a minister say one time that your God is who you look to meet your needs. And I think that's true, but I think there's more to it than that. I think there's, like, you know, what does he want you to do? And that stuff's just interesting to me.
I'll give you a key on that point. And I had to purposely lay down the prophetic. I walked in a season where I could read anybody's mail. And one day, God kind of tapped me on the shoulder. I swear he was standing there like, oh, my God, I'm going to turn around and fall out or something. And he said, how you doing, Dave? And I said, I'm doing great. I only tell him what I see. I do it the best of my ability. He said, how many people did you get healed today? But you know, Lord, I'm only doing. I don't add to it. I'm really a stickler on that. He said, how many people did you get set free? I said, but Lord, you know, I'm only doing what you show me. He said, how many people did you get into my kingdom today? I had to purposely lay down the prophetic and put the Great Commission first. And then after people get healed, delivered, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, hey, I see you doing this. And you'll actually watch the prophetic change in front of your eyes when you get that attitude. I see cancer on you. Let me pray for you. The cancer's, I see you having a long life. But if I just told them what I seen and left it at that, oh, I see you dying of cancer, the vision will actually change in front of your eyes. That was one of the things that held me back. I was only telling them what I seen, but that ain't what God wants you to do. He shows you that so you'll do something about it. Hey, I see pain on your body. Let me get it off of you. I see, oh, you're really hurting. You're depressed. And I'm kind of sneaky. I'll usually hand my hand out, and 90% of the people will shake your hand even if they don't like you, and I just don't let go until the power of God sets them free. Now I see you having, I see you getting married again. I see somebody that really loves you coming into your life. The vision will change right in front of your eyes. It's almost like getting to write the end of the video that's playing out. Because you're a son of God first. You always have to come from where it says in all the epistles to be like Christ in all ways. Christ wouldn't just say, oh, you're sick and dying. He'd say, I see what's wrong. Let me help you out of it. We got to change our mindset to helping people out of their messes. You guys got something big coming in your group.
That's really cool. Hey, while you were talking, I thought of this girl that I had a vision while she was talking Monday night, and I just seen a flash of a really hard twisted ankle. And I was like, what in the world is that, Lord? Well, later on that night, I finally moved on what the Lord showed me. And it turned out, like, I asked her, I said, did you twist your ankle or something? Are you having ankle problems? And she said, no. She said, I did. I said, well, does it hurt? And she said, no. And then I said, well, as we went on talking a little bit, the Lord showed me that it was a wound from the past. And he used that word of knowledge to bring up an issue where there was pain between her and her father. And it was wild because she started crying right there in front of me. And it's like the Lord really was taking her to a deeper level and revealing where she had some unforgiveness in her heart and stuff. It was really cool. But, I mean, yeah, you know, sometimes you just have to hold those words of knowledge and stuff before the Lord and let him walk it out. But if I would have never took that risk to asking her, you know, I mean, it's just interesting how it played out, you know, but it may not have happened that night.
Well, seven people are so bound up, they don't know how to get rid of it themselves. I was one of them. Everybody, I got to forgive everybody. How? How do you? You get to that point, you don't know how. You don't know which way to take that next step. And that's why we should be a team. You got to help your brother out of them. He don't know how to get out of, or her sisters. You don't know. They don't know how. When you're in the middle of a battle, you can't see the forest. You got. That's why we have people pray for one another that you may be healed. Sozo, you'll be set free of that stuff. Something. I just keep getting. I see this nuclear explosion, and usually that's something big is going to happen, and it's going to come quickly. It's almost like the launch pad of the old Saturn V, the Apollos. Something's ready to blast off in this group.
We've got a conference coming in July. It's the first conference we've ever had before, and we're praying that it'll be very successful. The Lord has really had us feeling good things about it, so we're just gonna put it on and see what the Lord does in it.
It's something
unique, but yeah, It's awesome, Dave, to you know, talk about this stuff because the Lord really, really touches each and every person. And you know, I've heard of many a story of person that actually, you know, they walked and the prophetic and the healing and all this as a child, and it's just opened up to them when they was a child, and unique things would happen and people wouldn't understand them, and they would be confused at times, and they thought everybody walked in this type of gifting, but they found out that nobody did except for them, and it was kind of very hard for them to walk this out. And a lot of times, like you said, Dave, is like a lot of times they cut it off. They would just wouldn't have nothing to do with it. And sooner or later, the gift would actually slow down because they wouldn't pay no attention to it. And there's a very few parents that actually encourage their kids to use it, to expand it, and where they can keep it through their adult life. And there's a very few that has done it, but there has been some parents that have told their kids to use it, because sometimes their parents had the same abilities and they wouldn't say, you don't know what you're talking about, you're crazy, don't say it. No, they would actually encourage them to use it more, to go more advanced into that. And that's very few, but that has been heard of. But yeah, Dave, that's very interesting. And I know you said something about your puppy story, about the puppies that you had when you was a child, and I don't know whether your father did something to them and you laid hands on them and they came back alive or something like that.
Yeah, he shot them all, and I laid hands, and they all came back to life, so he shot them a second time.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy there, but, it's awesome that you was able to bring them back, just showing that ability there, and this is very awesome. But, Dave, is there any event that you're – go ahead, man.
Well, just before I knew, my dad wouldn't listen to me, after 50 years. So I sent Patty and two other ministers to get him saved. And how many days was it? Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, he was killed. So even the guy that hurt me worse, robbed me, treated me like dirt or worse, you knew you forgave him because you wanted him in heaven regardless. It's
Amen.
A deeper revelation of really what love. It's not the goofy Corinthian just love everybody. It was laying your life down for somebody that's really harmed you. And
Amen.
One of my best friends that embezzled a fortune from me, that hated my guts, his daughter had leukemia years ago, and I went and laid hands on her, and probably never getting credit for it and don't care. But his daughter didn't die of leukemia, and they had a cousin that died about the same age, so they were devastated. But there was such a greed yet that they didn't care about that. The money was their idol. My own daughter, when she was given birth, she was brainwashed and to hate me. She called me and given birth, and she thought her and the baby were dying. I walked in, laid hands on them. Within 5 minutes, her and the baby were normal. If he had millions of dollars, medicine couldn't have saved her, but Jesus could.
Hey, man, don't feel bad, man. I have the same type of thing even in my family. With having the ability to pray for people, seeing things happen, and it seems like your family don't want you to pray for them. And there's some that does, but there's some that don't. So I understand that. And, it could be grieving at times, but the Lord still loves them. And we just pray for them. And all of a sudden, the Lord will start moving in their lives and bring them closer to Him. And it's very awesome. But, Dave, do you have – go ahead.
I've had the ability to get people healed that were screaming mad, hating me. It's almost like they're easier than some of these timid people, for me anyway.
Yeah.
It was proving God's love despite them. Like at my dad's funeral, everybody I laid hands on got healed, and they all hurt me very deeply. One was my Sunday school teacher that taught me against all this. One lady had cancer earlier that she come up, and so it was getting the job done no matter if they like it or not. It is.
That's it.
You really love them, You love them like Jesus when you get them set free, even when they hate your guts in the natural.
Yeah. Well, Dave, we gotta get off here. Time's about up. But do you have any events that you would like to advertise?
Hi, this is Patty, his wife.
Hey, Patty.
We have May 30th and 31st, we have a spiritual gift seminar coming up in Ankeny, Iowa, and we just train people up, you know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, all the gifts are available, but people just aren't walking in the fullness of it, so we just want to help them grow up into that, and we actually, you know, do demonstration, activation, classroom setting, have them get up, lay hands on each other, and just, you know, practice prophesying. It's a safe place, and so they're learning, and they just grab a hold of all God has for them. And then we go out on Saturday night in the marketplace and just go lay hands on people. So they're with us. They're with somebody who's, you know, done it before, so they can do it and have success in doing it. And then it helps give them the confidence to do it when they're on their own.
That's very awesome.
And then,
we're
actually having one the next weekend in Kankakee, Illinois, a spiritual gifts conference. And that will be the 5th. We're going to do a healing service on a Friday night. Then the seminar Saturday again from 9 to 5, the activation at 7. And then Sunday morning, well, it may be afternoon. We're not sure on that yet. Have another healing service, because sometimes people come get healed on Friday night, then they're like, hey, this works. I want to know more about it. So then they step into that when they, you know, they'll come to the rest of the training once they've been healed. So we have those two things coming up, and then it's a little bit further out, but for the State Fair in Iowa, it's August 13th through the 23rd. We're actually having a prayer tent, and so people come by and get healed and saved, and we have people that go out and about in the fairgrounds, teams that pray for people and see people saved and healed. Last year we had about at least 1,000, probably closer to 2, that were healed and saved, and it was just, we had a blast. We paint the kids' faces so it draws people in, and then we pray for them.
Ask
their parents or whoever's bringing them if we can talk about Jesus, and they're like, sure. And then we talk to the parents, and they can all get saved or healed, whatever they need. So we're just looking for people who have a hold of this message that want to come and help us with the prayer booth, because it's like 11 days long and from 9 to 9, but it's a fantastic time. You know, if you have one person that says no, you got, you know, another thousands and thousands of people to go to next. So
that's awesome. That's awesome.
We have a terrific time.
I was wanting to advertise the Healing Light conference we're going to have Saturday, July 11th at 5 p.m. Co-host Robert Hager. Yours truly, Chuck McDonald. Our guest is going to be Heath Adams, Reverend Jacob Phillips, and myself is going to be hosting this show or this event, and we're expecting some great miracles to happen. We're expecting the Lord to really move during this event. We're also going to have Robert and Erica Jordan is going to be leading worship during this event. And this place is actually located off of Highway 127. You can go down 321, Interstate 321, get off 127 exit. And I think you get off the bridge and take a left, and you'll go right to Marketplace Church. It's in like a little shopping development there. My Dollar is right close next door. It's like a dollar store. And the church and the event hall is right there. So just come by there and check it out. It's going to be going on from 5 until, I'll say, about 10. We've got a lot of speakers, so we're trying to get everybody in. We are going to have prayer lines. If you need prayer, you know, just stay. We're actually we're actually expecting, you know, miracles to happen during the service, so you might not even have to go to the prayer line. It might happen while you're sitting during the service. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be awesome. So we don't even want to see nobody in prayer lines. We want to see them just stand up and they're already healed. We don't have to touch them. So the Lord's going to come in and we're going to see some amazing things happen. So
praise God.
Just come and see this and see me and Chuck and all of us speak. You know, they've heard us over the radio for a while, but never saw us in person. This here will be the first time they can see us in person. It's going to be cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave and Patty, for coming on again. And
thank you for having us on.
And we're looking forward to doing an event with y'all in the future.
Yeah, and, so are we. I know it will be good.
Yeah, we're in the works now, trying to put something together. We're just trying to see if the place we're going to have it, you know what the outcome of that's going to be. But it's going to be awesome. And y'all have a blessed day. And thank you, Chuck and Chris. You guys still here?
Yeah, no problem. It's good times.
It's been a great show. Yeah, everybody cry. That's awesome, man.
Appreciate you.
I remember Dave saying something about hot air balloons. I love hot air balloons. I've got to ride one once when I was small, connected to a rope. I never did get to go all the way up in one, so that was pretty cool.
Wow.
So that's pretty awesome. But anyway, y'all have a great Saturday, and we'll see you Wednesday at 8 p.m., everybody, and it'll be me and Chris and Robert going to be preaching the Word of God to y'all. God bless y'all, and we'll see y'all Wednesday.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.